But Monsieur Rajneesh talks in Greek. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Discourse number 10, on the 24th of February, 1986, a.m.
Questions are from the Italian Rajneesh Times. The first question is, for the last month, the Vatican has been suggesting to the Italian Catholic media to keep silent about your existence. Such a thing has not even happened regarding the terrorists. This seems to show that the Pope is afraid of you. Please comment.
The Pope and other religious leaders of the world are not afraid of terrorists, but they are afraid of me. The reason is the terrorists cannot destroy their very root, cannot destroy their very existence. They may kill few people here and there, but they cannot take away the vested interest totally. I can do that. I am a bigger terror to them, although I am not a terrorist. I am absolutely non-violent. And their fear is basically because they are standing on 50th ground. They have no argument to exist anymore. They cannot provide any reason why they are needed. And I can provide every reason that their very existence is a hindrance for human progress, for the coming of a superman. They are keeping people in every way retarded just so that they can exploit. And they have been exploiting for centuries. They have repeated their lies so often that they almost appear as truth. Man's mind is a very mysterious mechanism. If you go on saying to it something which is absolutely baseless, first it will not listen to it. First it will laugh about. But if you go on without bothering about its laughter or ignorance, soon it will become serious. There must be something in it if the man is so persistent. And if this goes on for centuries, you forgot completely that the beginnings of religion are out of fear. Man started to create a god out of fear, not out of knowledge, not out of love. He was surrounded by wild animals, the most helpless being on the earth. In the night there was dark, and he was continuously in danger being attacked. So when the fire was found for the first time, it became a god. In India, they still worship fire. Because then man could make a bonfire, a lighted space, remain close to the fire. Animals are afraid of fire. It was warmer, there was light, there was no fear, animals cannot come near. Naturally, fire became a god. In the oldest book on the earth, Rig Veda, more prayers are devoted to the god fire than to any other god. Slowly, slowly, more and more gods came in. you want to see the whole scene of God, you have to look into 10,000 years history of religious development in India, because that is the country where religion first entered. They have 33 million gods. Everything that was protective became a god. Everything that they were afraid, they made a god out of it. As a bribery, they started worshipping clouds, they started worshipping rivers, because rivers were dangerous, floods were coming. If they worshipped rivers, then perhaps floods will not come. They started worshipping the sun because it is the sun they found that gives you warmth, life, wakes you up out of the night. Night has been a terror for millions of years. Religion's origins are in the fear. It is not a coincidence that India is the most ancient religious country and the most cowardly. For 2,000 years they have been slaves. What people who are so coward that they need 33 million gods to protect them can do? A small group of people invaded such a big country, which is almost a continent. Without any resistance, the fear was great. The same is true about other religions who came later on. They are based in fear. Man creates God in his own image. Although the Bible says man created, God created man in his own image. Just the opposite is true. And it is so clear, if God created man in his own image, do you think man has anything that can prove that he is the image of God? God is all powerful. God is everywhere present. God is all-knowing, past, present, future. What qualities you have? No, the idea is just wrong. The reality is man created God in his own image. That's why the Chinese god will have a Chinese face. The Hindu god will have a Hindu face, Hindu color. The Japanese god will look like Japanese. He speaks Japanese. I have heard after the Second World War, one German general and one English general met by coincidence on a beach where they were on a holiday. They became friendly. They were in the same profession of butchering and killing. The German general asked only one thing I cannot understand. Why we were defeated? We were stronger than you. The English general laughed and said, I will tell you the reason. We were praying to God for victory. The German laughed. He said, that is nonsense, because we were also praying to God for victory. The Englishman said, in what language? God understands only English. And you must be praying in German. That's because why you are defeated. The Pope is certainly afraid. This is not the quality of a religious man to inform the news media that they should not write either for me or against me, neither positive nor negative. They should not even mention my name, my prison. Does he think that I need news media for my presence to be felt? His fear is a proof that my presence is already being felt there, although I am not there. He was in India. I welcomed him. And I opposed the Hindu chauvinists who were opposing him in ugly political ways. Protest, march, slogans, throwing stones, preventing his meetings, disturbing his meetings. I was the only person in India who opposed publicly the Hindu chauvinist, that you are doing something ugly. if the Pope is not right invite him in every city where he visits respectfully, he is our guest, welcome him and challenge him for a discussion on the fundamental matters of religion. That will be more human, more intelligent, and prove him that he is wrong. Your strength cannot prove him to be wrong. Your protest cannot prove him to be wrong. Your protest and your stones only prove that you are afraid. I hope the Pope should be a gentleman. He should behave with me the way I behaved with him. But he has already started misbehaving. He should have told the whole press media that be present and we are going to discuss the fundamental matters. It is a question of quest, inquiry into truth. It is not a question of my being victorious or his being victorious. We are negligible. The reality is that the truth should be revealed. That the people should come to understand what is false and what is not false. Invite the people. This is simply ugly politics, to tell the press media, and in Italy almost the whole media is Catholic. But don't be worried. The media will have to take a standpoint either for or against. Nobody can be left in between. And already it happened. Before he had informed the media, the television from Italy came to Kathmandu to take my interview. They have done the longest piece ever, 90 minutes interview. And the director informed me that we had never such a response in our whole life. 13 million people saw the interview on the television, and the whole country is divided into two parts. People are fighting in the streets far and against, in restaurants, everywhere. He asked me, are you some kind of a disaster? Because only when some big disaster happens, then that many people look at the television. Otherwise, who cares about religion? I I am certainly a dissenter. Dissenter to all the religions that exist. Because I want a totally new dimension to give to religion. I want religion to be absolutely unorganized. It is individual, personal inquiry. And only through your personal inquiry you can come to know the truth of your life, of your existence, and the meaning. There is no need of any priest to stand in between you and existence. I don't want man to create fiction. I want him to be more scientific, to look for realities. God is a fiction. Existence is a reality. To me, there is no other God than existence, than life, than consciousness. And then you need not go on piling up lies upon lies. First, you create God because you had asked an stupid question: who created the world? The question is stupid because whoever created it, the question will remain again the same: who created that personality? So God number one created the world, God number two created God number one, God number three created God number two. It is an endless regress. You can never come to the point where you can find who created it all. Ask an stupid question and you will fall into a regress, a simple logical process. And once you ask an answer that God created the world, then you have to define God. Nobody has seen God. All definitions are inventions. If horses were to go to define God, it will be a horse, a good Arabian horse. It cannot be man, certainly not man. Because man has been such a pain in the neck of all the horses that they are fed up. They cannot accept man as a god. I am reminded of a small child who used to go with his father in a park for a morning walk. And there was a statue of Napoleon Bonaparte sitting on his horse, and the child was always enchanted, and he looked up and he asked about what it is, and the father explained that it is Napoleon Bonaparte, one of the heroes of the history. Soon the father was going to be transferred to other town. The boy said, before he leave, I would like to see Napoleon Bonaparte. The father took him there with tears in his eyes. He says to his father, "Father, I can understand Napoleon Bonaparte is a great hero, but who is that guy who is standing upon sitting upon it? That fool continuously 24 hours is sitting over my Napoleon Bonaparte." The father could not believe that he was thinking the horse was the Napoleon Bonaparte. But children have their own visions, their own ideas. There are 300 religions in the world, and every religion has a different definition of the God. Certainly 300 definitions cannot be true. Yes, 300 definitions can all be untrue. And they are untrue. It is just because you accepted God as the creator, you got into a fix. Now you have to define God. Now you have to tell when He created the world. Christians say He created the world 4,004 years before Jesus Christ was born. I assume it must have been Monday, 1st January. But the question arises, before 6,000 years, for eternity, what this God was doing? Seems to be a great lazy God. It took eternity for him to decide to create the world, and then he has created this mess. One of my friends was going for a tour. He had ordered to the tailor a beautiful coat to be made. The winter was coming and he was in a hurry. He said to the tailor that make it in 1 week's time. And don't be tricky. Don't try to find out any excuses. In 1 week's time you have to make the coat. The man said, I can make it in 1 day. But just see outside. God made the world in 6 days. And what the world is, it is an utter mess. If I make your coat in 1 week, it will be utter mess. That will be your responsibility. I am a poor sailor. If God could not manage, how I can manage? Give me time. The coat will be ready when you are back from your trip. Then it will be perfect. One life needs to be supported by another life. In how many days he created the world? In 6 days. Because the seventh day he got tired. Great God. Omnipotent, all-powerful God gets tired in 6 days. It's spent, finished. Since then we have not heard anything about it. Since then he has been resting. The Sunday does not end at all. And all these things are against scientific investigation. This earth itself is at least 3 million years old. Nothing to say about the universe. Universe is eternal. It has always been there, changing into new forms. Every day new stars are born. Every day old stars die. There is no beginning and there is no end. Hence the question of any creator does not arise at all. But you create a life, you make churches and temples and synagogues around that life. You create bishops, archbishops, popes to be mediators between you and the life. And you waste your life praying to something which does not exist at all. All the religions have been destructive to your religiousness. They have been destructive to your search for truth. They have been teaching you to believe, not to inquire. They have been giving you ready-made formulas, so you need not bother about any individual inquiry. Leo Tolstoy has a story, a beautiful story of three villagers, uneducated. Thank you. unculture, they live by the side of a lake in total isolation under a tree. They were becoming more and more famous as saints. The Archbishop of the Russian Orthodox Church, of course, was angry, because in Christianity you can be a saint only if you are certified by the Pope. It is hilarious that a saint needs to be certified, as if it is also a title under a degree that has to be conferred on the man. The very English word saint comes from sanction. It has to be sanctioned, certified. And these three people are not certified, and they have become saints. And people were going to them in thousands, and they were not coming to the Archbishop. He was really pissed off. One day he could not contain himself. He took a motorboat, went across the lake, those three poor people fell onto his feet and said, "Why you had to do this long, tedious journey? You could have informed us and we would have come." He was cooled down a little, seeing their simplicity, but he said, "Do you think you are saints?" They said, "We don't know what a saint means." "Why people come to worship you?" They said, "That is a problem to us. We don't want. That's why we have come far away from the village to live here in isolation." "But people are Christians. They go on coming here. And we go on saying that we don't know anything. We are just simple people, poor people." Then the Archbishop was back into his daily posture of being the Archbishop. He said, "Then listen. First tell me, what is your prayer?" All the three looked at each other and said, "You tell him." The Archbishop said, "Anybody can tell, there is no question. Just tell, what is the prayer?" They said, "We are very embarrassed, because we don't know any prayer. Not knowing any prayer, we have created our own. Please forgive us. Our prayer is..." The Archbishop had to laugh. He said, "This is a strange kind of prayer. I will tell you the authorized prayer by the church, and you forget this prayer, this is not prayer, this is all nonsense. They said, you can teach us, we are available. The only difficulty is, it should not be too long. There should not be big words. Otherwise, we will forget about it. He told them the whole prayer, and they were very sad, and they said, please repeat it one time more. It is very difficult to remember. But we will try in three parts. One part, one man will remember, the other part, the other man will remember, the third part, the third man will remember. This way we will make it. You repeat at least one time more. Archbishop repeated the prayer one time more. They all the three touched his feet and he was great. We enjoyed. He was thinking that there is going to be an encounter. But these are poor people, ignorant. He went in his boat, very happy that he has done a virtuous act of transforming three idiots to the right way of religion. In the middle of the lake, he was surprised. All the three were coming running on the water. He was so afraid, this time he really pushed. He was trembling. My God, what is happening? And they reached the motorboat and said to the archbishop, please, one time more. You have forgotten the prayer. And the archbishop said to them, you forget my prayer, you continue your own. I was wrong to disturb you, please forgive me, just go back. You are three, we are three, have mercy on us. From today, I am also going to do your prayer. Because I am also three. I, my wife, my son. It fits. And it is simple. And it works. Religion should be a simple human individual affair like love. You don't have organizations for love. You don't create churches and synagogues and temples and mosques for love. But in love, at least two persons are involved. In prayer, you are absolutely alone. It is the beauty of aloneness, the purity of aloneness, the unpolluted serenity, silence of aloneness. in which you become aware of the tremendous beauty of existence, of the great blissfulness that surrounds you. But you were missing it because your eyes were covered by Christianity, Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, Mohammedanism. I want to give you back your eyes. And I want you to take the responsibility of finding the truth yourself. Do not depend on anybody else, because every dependence is a slavery. And the people who want you to depend on them, like the Pope wants you to depend on him, is simply creating in the name of religion a vast empire of slaves. Just 2 days before I saw his proclamation that I have heard few Catholics are confessing to God directly. That is a sin. Nobody can confess to direct, cannot be in communication directly to God. He should go via the priest. It's strange. You cannot even confess to God directly. The reality is, because there is no God, if you start inquiring individually, you will find that God was the greatest lie that has been told to everybody. A priest is needed to guard that lie. And the confession to the priest is a political strategy. You go into the priest telling your sins. Do you know what it means? It means you are making a man powerful enough over you. You cannot leave Catholic fold, otherwise he will expose you. He knows everything wrong that you have done. It has nothing to do with God. It is pure politics. He has a file on you. He knows what you are doing with your neighbor's wife. He knows how many times you have stolen things. He knows how many times you have taken drugs which are illegal. He knows everything that is wrong about you, and that is his power over you. You cannot leave the fold. You have to remain in the fold. If you start confessing directly to God, the whole strategy of keeping you enslaved in a psychological concentration camp will fail. So let him do whatever he wants to do. I'm coming to Italy. And I am going to challenge him in his own Vatican. On each single fundamental question of religion, if he does not have any courage, he can go on another world tour when I am there.
Bhagwan, Master Dharma, the traditional seer, wrote that the Antichrist will come before the end of this century. Do you have any idea who the so-called Antichrist could be?
I have absolutely the idea who is the Antichrist. Olaf is a Pope. And when I say this, I'm saying it not without any reasoning behind it. Every religion has been described by its priests. There is an ancient parable in the East that a newly recruited devil came running to the old master, the great devil, perspiring, huffing and buffing. He said, "What are you doing here? Smoking Havana cigar, and you are not aware that one man on the earth has found the truth. If you stress it to the people, our whole business will be destroyed." The old devil went on smoking, smiling. He said, "Don't be worried, my son. You are new. You don't know our strategies. My priests have already reached there. They are surrounding the man. Now they will not let anything reach to people uninterpreted. They are my servants, but they will pretend to be his priests. They will write his book. They will interpret his philosophy. They will make the church. They will convert people. And they will not allow anybody to reach to the man directly. We don't allow anybody to reach to truth directly. Everybody has to go via the right channel. And the right channel is the priest. And all the priests are my employees. So you don't be worried. Quiet down. Have one Havana cigar." He said, "This is a strange, because I had seen there many very saintly looking people sitting around the man." He said, "Yes, they are my people. Very expert. It has happened many times. Many people have found truth. But my priests have always spied it. It has never been able to reach to the people. What reaches to the people is distortion. Pope, the Pollock, is the Antichrist. And 20 centuries of these Pollocks and the Pope prove that whatever they have been doing is against Christ. They call Christ the Prince of Peace, and all the popes have been going on crusades, religious wars, destroying villages, murdering people, Jews, Mohammedans, fighting continuously, burning living people, burning living women, for the simple reason that anybody has suspected that the woman is a witch. Now the word witch is a beautiful word. It means a wise woman. It has nothing wrong in it. But these wise women were dangerous to the priests. They could not allow any competitor. Hence the very word witch became derogatory. And they must have burned thousands of beautiful women. Forced them to confess that they are witches. And the meaning of which they managed to concoct was that they are in sexual relationship with the devil. The devil does not exist. How can you have a sexual relationship with the devil? But in the Middle Ages, they tortured these women day in, day out. Finally, they gave up, seeing no hope. Unless they confess, they will be tortured. And once they confess, then they are to be burnt. The torture must have been tremendous, because nobody will choose burning alive unless the torture was most dangerous. Then being burnt alive, they confessed that yes, they had been sexually connected with the devil. Once they accepted this, they were burned alive. Thousands of people have been killed by these people who represent the Prince of Peace. And what peace they have brought to the world. You can see the two world wars have been fought in the Christian section of the world. And the third world war will also be fought in the Christian section of the world. these people are repentators, not of peace, but of death. So I said categorically that the Antichrist is already in Vatican. He has started doing the worst that can be done to humanity. He is preaching to the whole world against birth control, against the pill, against abortion. That is enough. That will destroy this whole world through starvation, through poverty. Right now there are 5 billion people on the earth. And the earth is capable to support joyously not more than 1 billion people. 1 billion people can live on this earth in a dance, in ecstasy. But 5 billion people, and by the end of this century, the population would be 6 billion. Out of sheer population, no nuclear weapons are needed. The humanity can commit suicide. My answer is absolutely clear. Pope the Polis is the Antichrist, and all the popes have been. And not only in Christianity, but in every religion. If you look in the history of religions, you will be surprised. Gautam Buddha rebelled against Brahmanism, because Brahmanism was creating a very dead society in India. Through caste system, somebody was born high, somebody was born low, and the lowest class was untouchable. Not only the people were untouchable, even their shadow was untouchable. What man has done to man is worth remembering so that we do not do it again. In India, the lowest class, which means 1/4 of India, had to shout loudly with a bell in their hands that whoever is on the way, please move. And they had a broom attached to their back, so that wherever they pass, the broom goes on cleaning the place. And if somebody by chance happens to be touched by their shadow, he had to take a bath to purify himself. Such indignity has never been done anywhere. Such inhumanity. Buddha rebelled against it. But the surprising fact is that all the people who wrote Buddha's scriptures were Brahmins. All his disciples who surrounded him were Brahmins. It's strange. Mahavira, another great teacher of Jainism, was also against Hinduism and Brahmanism and its caste system. But all his 9 apostles were Brahmins. I think the parable I told you is not just a parable, it is the truth. Those Brahmins have done everything that they could manage. They have changed words of Buddha, they have interpolated their own interpretations in them. You cannot be certain whether it has been said by Buddha or by the people who have been writing these things. There is no way to figure it out. I am certain that there are sentences which a Buddha cannot say. I am certain that there are sentences which a Mahavira cannot say, because those sentences prove utter ignorance, not enlightenment. So the real enemies are not the people who are against. The real enemies are always those who are close to you, who betrayed Jesus. One of his most intimate disciples. Judas. And for what? Only 30 silver coins. And he sold his master. If anybody had said that Judas is the person who is the Antichrist with you, nobody would have listened. But now he knows that he was the Antichrist. Gautam Buddha's own cousin brother, who lived with him as his disciple for many years, Devadatta, finally betrayed him. and declared himself to be the real Buddha and took over 500 disciples with him and was propagating around the country that Gautam Buddha is fake, I am real. And he was Gautam Buddha's cousin brother, very loved one. And Buddha was so close to him that perhaps he may have chosen him as his successor. Mahavira was betrayed by his own son-in-law, who was also his disciple. His daughter was disciple, his son-in-law was disciple. But the son-in-law was very insistent that he should be declared to be his successor. And Mahavira said, I am not going to die now. At least 30 years more I am going to be here. Don't be in a hurry. But he was worried somebody more capable, more articulate may appear. He finally threatened, if he does not declare him, then he is going to rebel against him and declare himself to be the real master of Jainism. Mahavira is just a hypocrite. And he did it. And he took away with himself hundreds of disciples of Mahavira. So it is not just one instance. If Antichrist can be born anywhere, then the place is Vatican. And this man, Pope the Polis, fits perfectly. The time is right. Humanity is coming to an end. If a great spiritual revival does not prevent a global suicide, if individuals don't start taking their own responsibility, if they don't desert their so-called leaders and their churches and their holy books, the world is not going to survive long. My effort simply is to make you aware that it is still time. Not very much, but still there is time. If all the individuals from all the religions simply declare that they are no more Hindus, no more Christians, no more Buddhists, they want total freedom for themselves. And they take their responsibility on themselves. They don't want to be saved by anybody else. That is ugly. That is humiliating yourself, insulting your own self. That if I can be saved, I can be saved by my own self. And I will search the truth on my own, whatsoever the cost. If people desert the churches and the synagogues and the temples and the mosques, and if people do declare that the whole earth is ours and the nations do not need to exist, there is no need. They can exist as functions, just like post office or railway trains or telephone exchanges. Nations can exist as doing particular functions, but there should be no boundaries, either of nation, religion, race, color. If we can declare the whole world as one, we can save the world yet.
Bhagwan, yesterday the Corriere della Sera, the most popular Italian newspaper, wrote that Pope Paul VI some years ago, and now Pope John Paul II, officially affirm that the devil is not a pseudo-reality, a conceptual and fantastic personification of the unknown causes of our diseases, but on the contrary, he is a real, existing demon. Please comment.
Existence is dialectical. If there is love, there is hate. If there is day, there is night. If there is pain, there is pleasure. If there is man, there is woman. Existence functions through dialectics. The religions who believe in God have to declare that devil is a reality. If devil is only a fiction, then their God also is a fiction. The reason behind this declaration is not to prove the reality of devil, but to support the reality of God. There are religions like Taoism in China who has no devil because it has no God. There are religions in India, Jainism, which has no devil because it has no God. Buddhism in Japan, in Ceylon, in India, in Thailand, in Korea, has no devil because there is no God. Pope's declaration about the reality of the devil is very cunning. It is a strategy to prove that God is real. Without the devil, the God cannot exist. it won't fit in the dialectic. But it raises many questions. If the devil is real, who created the devil? Either he must have existed always with God, or he was also created when the world was created. If he had always existed with God, then he has the same status and the same eternity than God. And looking at the world, he seems to be more powerful than God. Who manages all these wars? Who manages so many killings and rapes and crimes? Millions of people are behind the bar. Who manages? God seems to be only just in the book. Devil is very much active and has tremendous power. God seems to be absolutely impotent before devil. And if they are going to exist forever together, because without devil the God cannot exist, God is dependent on devil. Then why worship God? It is better to worship devil. Secondly, if someone says that God was alone before he created the world, then why he created devil? Then he is responsible for anything wrong that happens in the world. For all the crimes and for all the sins, he is responsible. Why he created devil in the first place? And this seems to be simply unbelievable, that he creates devil and people are killed and women are burned because they are making love with one of the creations of God. So what is wrong in it? If it was wrong, God is all-knowing, past, present, future. He should not have created devil. And if he could exist alone for eternity, why he cannot exist alone today? What is the need of devil? But these are all hypothetical questions which have no roots in reality. First you create God, then you become afraid that he needs an entity. Otherwise, somebody is going to point that how he can remain in existence without its polar opposite. Then devil has to be brought in from the back door. But it does not solve any problem. It makes God dependent on devil, and devil becomes more powerful than God, and the world in every way proves that devil is more powerful than God. The simple and innocent are cheated, deceived, and the cunning become powerful, become politician, become president, prime minister. Devil seems to be a far more potential force. I simply deny what Pope has said, and when I will be in Rome, I will ask him, if devil is a reality, bring him in front of the people. A reality, is objective. Bring the reality before the people. Where you are hiding the devil in the Vatican? Because only you know that he is a reality. Nobody else knows he is a reality. Everybody thinks that he is a fiction. It is for the first time that you are proclaiming that he is a reality. You must have encountered him. What kind of relationship you have with the devil? Certainly you are not a woman. It can only be homosexuality. What kind of conversations you are having with devil? And for what reason? You are supposed to be representative of God, and you are proving the reality of devil, not the reality of God, which is in question in every young man and young woman's mind. The question is God, not devil. Who cares about devil? Who is God and his reality? But it seems you are trying to prove the reality of devil. Perhaps you are the devil. Perhaps he is hiding behind you. I have moved in so many places I have never come across him. That's why I am going to visit Vatican perhaps. I will be absolutely satisfied if devil can be presented before the public.
a reality. It's not something that has to be proved. It can be simply presented. You need not prove that there is sun. Nobody proves. You need not prove that there is light. Everybody who can see knows it. Realities don't need any proof. Only unrealities need proofs and arguments and theology. It is absolutely absurd. Neither God exists nor devil exists. Man's life is not dominated by God or by devil. Man's life scientifically is either dominated by unconsciousness or by consciousness. This is the real polarity. Act more consciously and we will be coming more and more to a quality that can only be called godliness. Not God, not a person, but a quality, a fragrance. Act unconsciously and you will be coming more and more closer to something which cannot be personified as devil, but can only be called a quality, evilness. The unconscious mind behaves in wrong ways. The conscious mind behaves in right ways. And the only religion there is the art of changing the unconscious mind into consciousness, so that you don't have the duality of unconscious and conscious, but you have only one, a pure light, a pure consciousness. And out of that consciousness, everything is divine.
A French thinker, De Gaulle, wrote 30 years ago, La Société du Spectacle, a pamphlet about the contemporary world, which transforms every experience of value into a soul business. I think that in some ways, you know it, because you are the positive champion of it. From the outside, it looks as if a precise organization is taking care of the spectacular happenings that bring your ears into TV and the newspapers. Is this true?
It is absolutely untrue. It is happening by itself. There is no organization which is taking care about television, about other news media, It is happening by itself, just the way as it happens when in the morning the sun rises and the birds start singing and the flowers start blossoming. Not that the sun goes and knocks on the doors of every nest of a bird. That wake up, I am here, and start singing. It is not that it goes to every flower and says, "What are you doing, you lazy one? I am here." It starts blossoming and spreading your fragrance. There is no organization around me. Just few friends who take care of me. It's television, newspapers, magazines, radios are coming to me. It is on their own. Some fragrance has reached to me. Something has filled them. There may be many reasons for their coming to me. Some may be coming out of curiosity. Some may be coming with a negative mind. Just to condemn me. Some may be sent by people like Pope Cipolla. To know about me, what kind of man is this? And some are coming because they have heard about me, they have read about me, and a certain feeling of love has arisen in them. But it is all happening. There is no management, there is no organization. I have lived for 35 years absolutely trusting in existence. So whatever happens is good, and whatever happens I am grateful to.
After the end of the world, finally, somebody starts to get interested in you. Not some superficial aspect, but to a real teacher. Could it be because they think that an answer without a kingdom is less dangerous?
I was never an emperor. And I don't have any kingdom. Neither I had ever before. But after the fascist destruction by the American government of my commune in Oregon, America, it is simply human that people it started feeling sympathetic. They started looking why the greatest power in the world should be so afraid of a man who has no power. Why a great power should be afraid of a small commune of 5,000 people, which lives in a desert, which has changed the desert into an oasis, which is not in any way a disturbance to any neighbor, because the most closest town was 20 miles away. The commune had 126 square miles of desert. And within the desert, it was situated only in 3 square miles. And the way they behaved with me, the way they behaved with other sannyasins, where 5,000 dancing and singing people were living, now there are only 160 people left. It is a ghost town. For 4 years, 5,000 people were working 12 hours a day, sometimes 14 hours a day, to create beautiful houses, roads, lakes, gardens, and they had made a small paradise by their own hands. It was their own creation. Why the American government should be so worried and afraid of these people? The land was lying dead for 50 years. Nobody was ready to purchase it because it was simply desert. We changed the land. It was supporting 5,000 people. For food, for vegetables, for milk products, for everything that we needed. And the people were not just living as they live in any other town. They were experimenting something which is going to happen in the future. They were living 100 years ahead. In the morning they were meditating. Then they were listening to me, to the answers to their questions. Then they were working, and then it was a beauty to see 5,000 people eating into one kitchen, into one plate. Thinly has disappeared. far it has become an assembly of 5,000 people. And after this whole day's work, in the night you could see people are dancing, singing, playing on their musical instruments late in the night. It was just rejoicing 24 hours round the clock. Why these people have been forced, and what America has gained? It has gained its desert best. If America loves desert, it should start destroying other cities too. The whole America can become desert. If they are not capable, they can invite Soviet people. They can manage to make the whole America a desert. What they have gained? They have not gained anything, but they have lost tremendously. They have lost 5,000 dancing, singing, rejoicing people who were not miserable, because not a single man went mad, not a single man committed suicide, not any thing that goes on happening in every city was happening there. It was a totally different climate. For the first time in the whole history, it was a small place where money was not circulating. We have stopped, no money should be used in the commune. And just by stopping the use of the money, we destroyed the distinction of the rich and the poor. You may have millions of dollars. It was of no use. You can donate your dollars to the commune, but you cannot use them to purchase anything. All your needs will be fulfilled by the commune, and everybody's needs were fulfilled. Nobody was hungry, nobody was without clothes, and nobody was bothered for tomorrow. The 2 days was so full, so enchanting, so magical, that nobody thought about yesterday's or tomorrow. 50,000 people used to visit the commune around the year. We have made in America a place which was very extreme. People don't go to America for spiritual search. Have you ever heard anybody going to America for spiritual search? They go to India, they go to Japan, they go to Middle East, but nobody goes to America. What America has to give as far as spirituality is concerned. But 50,000 people around the world, from India, from Middle East, from Japan, from countries who have been the sources of spirituality for centuries, people were coming to America for a spiritual search. If American politicians had any understanding, any intelligence, they would have supported the commune, helped the commune. It was going to become a Mecca, a Jerusalem of the young people of the whole world. But one does not expect intelligence from politicians. They became jealous because 50,000 people were not going even to the White House. They became jealous of the commune because there was not a single beggar. And we have accepted 200 American beggars in the commune. And those beggars were as happy as they have never been. And I asked few of them and they said, this is for the first time we are recognized as human beings outside in the world. We are thought worse than dogs. They were street people. And we were ready to accommodate more street people. The American politicians became afraid because the commune was living comfortably, luxuriously. I am absolutely against poverty. In 4 years' time, not a single baby was born. Nobody was forced to use birth control, but simply explained that the world is overpopulated. And do you want your child to grow in a world with AIDS is spreading, nuclear weapons piling up? Population increasing. By the end of this century, there is going to be just darkness all over the earth from many directions. Would you like your child to be born in this world? If you love, you will be the last to give birth to a child. This is not the time. The American government was more angry because there was a higher communism happening than it is in Soviet Russia or any other communist country. And most strange of all, The communism was happening side by side with anarchism, which are polar enemies. Anarchism believes in no government. Communism believes that government is needed first to destroy capitalism. But once people are in power and they have destroyed capitalism, who are going to take the power from their hands? 70 years have passed for the revolution in Russia. Capitalism has disappeared long before. Now everybody is poor. But those who are in power are more powerful than any rich man was ever powerful in any country. And they are not going to drop their power. Yes, one thing has happened, because everybody is equally poor, they think equality has happened. There is no comparison left. In the commune, everybody was rich. Nobody was poor. This I call the higher quality of communism. They became afraid, and there was no government, there was no enforcement. American government became afraid of what is happening. If American people become aware of it, of which they were becoming aware, it slowly, slowly, then it will create a problem. It is better to destroy. It will give a comparison to people. The commune had hundreds of cars. No car belonged to anybody. Everybody was able to use any car he wanted. The commune has 100 buses. The commune had 5 airplanes, its own airport, and everybody was available, capable. To be happy, to be blissful, to be rich is dangerous, because it creates comparison in other people's eyes. And they start asking the politicians, what you have been doing for thousands of years, these people have been able to do in 4 years. And if it can happen to these people, why it cannot happen to all people, to everybody? They arrested me without any warrant, on the points of 12 guns. They never told me why they have arrested. They did not allow me to inform my attorney, which is absolutely undemocratic and illegal. And when the whole story became known to the world press, it was a sudden exposure of America's reality. Not the people of America, but the American politicians and the bureaucracy of America is fascist. The destruction of the commune exposed them. That is the reason why in every country, not only in Italy, in every country, press has been sympathetic. In America itself, the news media has not been only sympathetic, it has been very protective. I was for 12 days in jail. Each jail was surrounded by hundreds of cameras, photographers, television people, newspapers. They wanted to know me just by passing from the car to the jail. They wanted to know me. Are they doing any harm to you? Just tell, and we will let the whole world know. It is a simple human psychology. It is not that I have lost any empire. I had none. It is not that I am no more an interest. I have never been. But I have a totally different kind of world with me. People who love me and people who are blessed by my love. If you call love power, then it is power, and perhaps the only power which should be saved, and all other powers should be destroyed. And whatever is my teaching is so clear to any intelligent person who is not closed that I don't see that sooner or later news media around the world is going to be for me. It is not for me. It is for truth. It is for love. It is for beauty. It is for meditation. It is for a new kind of religiousness. Thank you.